Hey, this is Kari Payton. I'm Cyborg from Teen Titans and Injustice and Injustice 2. And you're listening to The Night Nerd. So keep listening. Booyah!
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. All week, we've been looking at the fair. My local fair is in town, and it's been a delight. Fairs are really cool. I actually got to go and eat all the food and see the shows and everything. We'll dive more into that tomorrow, though, for sure. But it was a lot of fun. And today, I was going to do like the history of fairs. You know, but it's kind of boring, if we're being honest. Like, it was, the Romans had holidays, and there were fairs. And the Middle Ages, when it was a certain season for, you know, whether it be pigs or horses or everybody going through, there was a fair. Or if it was the local church, like whatever saint they were based on that day, there was a fair. Although, I thought it was interesting that there was a fair that dates back to 1293 in Stagshaw, England, that was held on July 4th. So, I guess, you know, maybe that's where we got it from, here in the States. I don't know. But, yeah, it's really not that exciting when you look at the history of the idea of a fair, or, you know, and... So, I did some digging into the history of my local fair, and it is actually kind of fascinating. My local fair is the South Plains Fair, and it's pretty big. It is the second largest, or as far as attendance, fair in Texas. And the second longest as far as continuous history. The only one that's been going longer and with more people is Dallas's State Fair, which is the State Fair. You know, it's huge and completely understandable. But so the South Plains Fair is also known as the granddaddy of West Texas fairs, because it started in 1914 and has been going pretty strong ever since. You know, it started off with just horses and wagons hanging out, and farmers coming, you know, having prized pumpkins and things, and wives swapping recipes, kids playing games, and everybody just enjoying the atmosphere. Because my town is now known as the hub of the plains, or the hub city, because, and this is what helped start it, because all these people would come from around and meet up and do all of these things, which is really cool, because before that our nickname was the city that shouldn't be. So that's because we are super isolated out in the middle of nowhere. And as it went on, you know, it got bigger and more people came, more and more people came, and it just really took off. But it would go on for just about 30 years, and they actually took some time off during World War II. There weren't any of the South Plains Fair from 1942 to 1945. And, you know, that's just because the state that the country was in and everything, they just decided not to have it. But there, it's been an important part of my city the whole time. Like, in 1921, the fair brought the first carnival in. They added, for the fair stuff, they would add competitions for cooking and crafts and sewing. That way, there would be competitions for women and stuff, too. They'd also do livestock competitions, which go on to this day, that, you know, a lot of the local area kids are part of. And it was really neat. It started off just being a three-day fair, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type thing. But by 1928, it had grown big enough that they doubled that. It became a 6-day fair, and it brought in over 120,000 people. In 1928 numbers, that's a lot. And it stayed at 6 days until 1973, when they added two more, and then back in 2000, they bumped it up to 9. So my fair is almost a week and a half long, because they do like preview nights and student nights and this and this and that, and everything. But one thing about the fair here, you can always predict the weather, because when the fair comes into town is when it's going to rain. Even as far back as like 1932, there was 5 days of nonstop torrential rain. I mean, it was, you couldn't even drive or do anything because it was so bad. It was 30 degrees and miserable, but people still came. They still came out. Even to this day, like the other day, it was pouring down rain, and there were still people going to the fair because that's what you do, and that's what, you know, there's nothing else really to do. And as it's continued to grow, you know, they've added like cattle barns and a women's building and stuff. They added the Fair Park Coliseum, which is where they do the free shows at now. And the very first act that performed there was in 1954. It was the touring branch of the Grand Ole Opry. And then just 2 years later, in 1956, Elvis Presley performed there. So that's pretty cool. I mean, Lubbock has a long musical history with Buddy Holly and everything, but knowing that there's all these great bands that come through every year, it's, I've seen a lot of great, great shows. And, you know, the fair is a good cause. There's a lot of good that they do. A lot of it is local businesses and everything, and out of every dollar spent, like 80 cents of it, so like 80% of the money remains here in Lubbock. A lot of charities go through there. A lot of schools set up. One of the local schools set up a Curly Tater booth. And oh my gosh, it's awesome. But all these schools and charities and stuff, they make about $1 million every year at the fair. And that's really cool. And the fair also has all these scholarship programs, whether it be through the ag stuff or some of the other competitions, where they've given away over $500,000 to our local colleges. And the fair has a pretty woven history with our local, our biggest local school, and that's Texas Tech University. Because the fair was around before the university had a football stadium. Well, not even a stadium, just a football field. And when the Red Raiders, well, they were the Matadors back then, first started playing football, there was no clean areas on campus that weren't, they all just had like stickers and plants and all this stuff. So the coach was like, hey, let's go play over at the fair. And for the 1925 season, that's what they did. And the first game of the next season. And they never lost a game there. So they played 8 games, and that's kind of cool. And then finally, the school got their act together and made a little practice field, and that's where they go on to play. But it's really neat, you know. I encourage you to look at your local fair. You know, what do they do for your community, and what is their history? You'll find a lot of cool stuff, and I would love to hear about it. You can let us know in the comments below here on SoundCloud or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just look for The Night Nerd. We'd love to hear from you. Email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. I respond to all of those, and yeah, just everybody's a whole lot of fun. But that's going to do it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Life walked these streets in a carnival of sights to see. All the cheap thrill seekers